You know, if one bad thing happens, you can overcome it. But when it's thing after thing after thing, it's so mentally draining.
Yeah.
And you feel like you've reached your limit. It was just like, I just can't catch a break. It felt so bad. And I was like, that was like the lowest point for me. That was the first time in my life where I was like, should I quit?
Morgan, thank you so much for taking the time to join us for the face-to-face podcast interview as we sit here in California for this one as well.
Yeah.
So you've just qualified for a second Olympic Games. I was thinking about your two Olympic qualification journeys and the one that you've just been on to get to Paris. My reflection was you kind of never do things the easy way, right?
Yeah. Well, I guess in Tokyo, the qualification, I was, you know, my ranking was pretty steady and decent. And yeah, obviously I had some setbacks, but nothing like this past Olympic cycle, or they're just different. You know, I was injured all last year, and then this year, I think I was dealing with a lot as well. But so my ranking was really bad, and I rolled on to the Paris test event the night before the race, and we had to get top eight, and I got six. So I qualified for next year's Olympics. So honestly, kind of made my season. You know, that was the first and most important goal. So I accomplished that. Probably failed in some other goals I had, but hey, here we are.
Isolating that period then between Tokyo and your qualification, can you just talk us through what that journey's looked like?
Yeah, so after the Tokyo Olympics, I was very just worn down mentally and physically, as I'm sure a lot of the athletes are. So yeah, those first few, and you know, they talk about like that Olympic hangover or something, like, I don't know what they call it. But in the US they call it like Olympic hangover. And that's definitely something I dealt with. I mean, I was physically, I just like couldn't push myself in training. I don't know if I was dealing with something, you know, physically or mental. I just felt like blah for a few months. And then, eventually the new year came around. I started training and was pretty excited for the new year. But, I actually did I don't know if you remember in 2021, they didn't have the Abu Dhabi race, in March, because that was obviously the grand final in 2021. So I actually went to do a running race in the US, just kind of break up training. And, you know, personally, I like to have a race, that period. And I pulled my hamstring or something at that race, and then that kind of started an injury cycle between then till August. So that was March, so basically 6 months of mostly dealing with an ankle injury. Couldn't, you know, I'd start running, I'd have to take a few days off, and it was a very strange, weird injury. Didn't race at all. Eventually saw some, or one, this guy down in Austin, Texas, really helped me, got me back on track. And by the end of September, I was healthy and started to run again. I started to run mid-September, and by the end, I was feeling really good and confident in my ankle and my body. And I trained for all of October 2021, and then I went down to Chile for the Viña del Mar World Cup. I think I was like hoping to have a good race. I had a bike mechanical issue. My chain came off, and also I had some really bad transition. I got out of the water with the lead pack, but it took me about 20 minutes to take off my wetsuit, and so probably a bit of rustiness there. So even if I didn't have the mechanical, the race probably wouldn't have gone amazing. But it was a 50th place in the finish, which in a World Cup in South America in November is not very good. But 2 weeks later, I went to the grand final, and I got second there, which was probably saved my career a little. got me on national team funding, and got my points ranking good enough to get into races for the next year. So yeah, that kind of saved my career. I mean, also it was a big result personally. You know, that's the biggest race of the year. Finished second, pretty good. So that year, so I'd say 2021, my ankle was just the big thing. And it was kind of a journey to, you know, figure out what was wrong. You know, I in the past, you know, you always hear about like foam rolling, stretching and mobility and doing the gym work. And I feel like in the past, before this injury, my ankle, you know, I did that stuff, but it was almost just like checking a box and not, you know, you kind of do it and you don't really, there's no intention behind it. And I kind of had to go through that injury to be like, I need to take this seriously. Like I'm, you know, we're training a lot, 30 hours a week, whatever it is. We're traveling, we're racing. Like, you know, I'm getting to my, you know, late 20s and you're basically beating up your body. Like you can't just like get away with not doing that stuff. If you want to be the best and you want to train at the highest level, you have to kind of treat your body at the highest level. And not that I was like, you know, partying and doing dumb stuff, but you kind of ignore that little stuff. Mm. So I kind of gained a new respect for that. And I take, you know, the gym work, the mobility work, the PT, the massage, like a lot more serious after my injury last year. And I actually do think it helps. I mean, I think my running's improved as a result. Just my body's a lot more open, and I actually think it helped me become a better athlete. Unfortunately, I had to go through a 6-month injury. So hopefully in the long run that was a good thing. But yeah, this year it's been an interesting year as well. Started the year in Abu Dhabi in March, the WTS there. And I actually just got sick just the week of the race. Nothing, you know, not a major illness, but I was doing the bike preview and we're riding like a little bit quicker on the front, maybe like 250 watts. And it was really hard. And I was like, yeah, this race is not going to go well if I start. So I decided not to start. Probably a good decision, but would have been nice to get a result there. Next race, Yokohama. So 2 weeks before that race, I like strained my hamstring in training. Just doing a track work. I mean, I was getting a little bit greedy on the track, running some 200s, and I was feeling quite fast and probably pushed it a little too hard, and I tweaked my hamstring. My points were so bad. I mean, I basically just had one result at the Abu Dhabi Grand Final, so I was like, I need the points. I couldn't really like sacrifice going to the race. So I went there, the race was going all right, you know. I got onto the run and first lap felt pretty good, and then started experiencing some lower back tightness, some glute tightness, and I never felt, you know, I'm sure most triathletes have some of that tightness throughout their careers and racing, and sometimes you go, you know, you run through it, you back off the pace a little, it goes away. So I backed off the pace and it just wouldn't go away, just getting worse. And I basically I stopped and tried to stretch, and it was really painful, and I basically jogged it in. I don't even know what place I got, 40th or something. Like the result, I just wanted to finish for, you know, just, I don't think it's good to quit if you're not, unless you're like, I didn't think I was actually hurt. I just thought it was like a tightness thing. So just finished the race. 2 weeks later, go to Italy. That's when I had another big problem happen. I got this you can probably see on my head, I have this scar here. I got like an infection in my face. It was pretty bad.
Wow.
Yeah. I don't know. It was really weird. We were in Italy, and we went straight from Yokohama to Italy, and I got a pimple on my cheek, and I'm like, I don't really get pimples anymore. And so I popped it, whatever. And then like I got one, I thought it was a pimple on my forehead, and like it wasn't a pimple. It just kept getting worse and worse, and like all this swelling in my face. And it was insane. Like I have pictures. I look like, you know, like the Avatar, like the blue guys.
Wow.
I look like the Avatar, and like now I still have a scar. Cause it like, but the scar was, like red and, you know, like scar, but then there was actually swelling in my face. Like, and it hurt the day of the race. Like it hurt to wear my goggles.
Oh my goodness.
It was so, Yeah, and it was just, I just felt like crap that whole race. I mean, I probably shouldn't have started, but I just, it was the same thing, kind of like my points aren't good. If I can just have a medium result, it's going to help, you know, like in my mind I was just like, I just need like a C level result, you know, like if I get 20th, it's worth something to me to get my points, you know, back up. But I was in the chase pack there, had nothing, like no energy. And then, you know, we still were, I forget how far back, maybe a minute back from the main pack. And, you know, I thought maybe I could run up and get a 20th, like I said, but again, my back just seized up and, yeah, I DNF'd there. So that was another unfortunate day. And then that infection thing honestly took me out like a month of training. It was like really bad. Like I couldn't train. Like I would train and then I would do something hard and I would, you know, anything over 300 watts on the bike or like 5 minute mile, you know, like under 530 mile pace on the run or like, I remember doing like a swim and this is yards. Cause it was in US and like, I was going like a 107, which is pretty that should feel pretty easy. And it was like, damn, this felt like anaerobic, you know? So it took me a while to get, I don't know, you know,
had it diagnosed by then? Did you know what you were dealing with?
So I different doctors said different things. I mean, a staph infection.
Hard, yeah.
One guy said he thought I had a staph infection and a parasite infection. And I trust him. So yeah, he helped me get rid of it. So I'd say that was May, June. So most of June I was like nothing. Like, you know, I took 2 days off here, didn't feel better. I started training, you know, honestly, like I was at a low there. Like just all time low, to be honest. Like
I guess, as well as physically.
Yeah. Well, physically. Well, cause like last year I just dealt with that injury and like, it's just, you know, you're basically out 6 months. And then this year I'm like, I can't even get a little break, you know, like, and that's, what's kind of been a bummer. If like I go to Yokohama, I can't even get like a 20th, like a 15th or something that, you know, in my mind, I want to be competing for the podium, but it's either like, you know, do really well or like 40th, and 40th doesn't get you any points or prize money or anything, you know? So it's like, it was just like, I just can't catch a break. Or even, you know, I kept thinking of the Chile race where I'm like, if I just had a good race there, if I got a top 10 there at a World Cup, my ranking would be that much better that I could get into the Paris test event. And so it was just frustrating. And then, you know, you can imagine you're training and like, you don't really know what's wrong.
Yeah. That's got to be the hardest thing.
Like there was one day I went out to this, you know, this group, it's called like the Stages group ride in Boulder. It's some pretty good riders there. And, I lasted 10 minutes and I got popped and I was like, and it's kind of far from where I live, but like by the time we bike all the way there and then all that. So I was like probably 90 minutes from home and I had to bike back and I just couldn't even go like 120 watts. Like it felt so bad. Mm-hmm. And I was like, that was like the lowest point for me. I was ready to like, I mean, I don't want to, that was the first time in my life where I was like, should I quit? Like I wasn't going to quit, but like that was the lowest I've been. So that was really, that sucked.
Yeah. It's hard though to even feel like, to even be entertaining that thought.
Yeah.
Like, cause you know, a lot of the triathletes and elite level athletes, especially in triathlon, because the amount of training you do, you're used to punishing yourself. Really,
yeah.
And you're used to finding mechanisms where you cope with that and you get through those hard moments.
Yeah.
But you might sometimes think, oh God, I can live without this today, but there's rarely a thought of, I should just stop doing this.
Yeah. Yeah. And like, it was a different feeling of like, it's like, I can't, you know, if one bad thing happens, it's, you can overcome it, you know? But when it's thing after thing after thing, it's just, it's so mentally draining.
Yeah.
And you feel like you've reached your limit of, you know, I feel like I'm a pretty resilient guy. I can come back from stuff and, but when, you know, it wasn't diagnosed at the time, but I literally had a giant scar in my head. It's like, that's just weird and random. Mm. And like, it's like, you just feel like it's, you're almost like not cut out. It's like, I'm not cut out for this. Like, you know, you see some of these other guys, they're racing every weekend, doing really well, like never any setbacks, at least from my perspective.
Yeah.
I don't know their life, and I'm sure they deal with their own stuff, but it's just like, it just seems so much easier for them. And here I am with a face infection. Like, it's just, yeah, it's gnarly.
And I guess with off the back of Tokyo, I guess, you know, coming away with an Olympic medal, like, you know, in the trophy cabinet is such a defining achievement in the sport of triathlon. You must be thinking after that moment, this is it for me, right? This is my time now to kind of really go on and become this kind of a real force, like you say, competing for podiums regularly at the very highest level.
Well, like after Abu Dhabi, when I podiumed at the final, I was like, I thought I was like poised for a huge, like, because in my mind I was like, I just got second at the grand final off like 6 weeks of running, and like I feel like I figured out my injury stuff. I have this, you know, I understand my body a bit better and why my ankle, because I've dealt with Achilles problems for a long time. And I felt like I kind of was like, well, I've always had this problem, and I've always kind of been treating the Achilles, but I just felt like, you know, my hips had been super locked up and other stuff. And I was just like, I felt like a new person, you know?
Mm.
And I was like, I feel like, you know, I felt like I had figured myself out a little, and I was ready. Oh, I was prepared, you know? I just felt like I was ready for that. And, it obviously wasn't the case.
Yeah, well, it's interesting because I guess the outside perspective when people look at you as well is that here's a guy who looks like he has got all the tools that you would want to be, you know, right up there with the very, very best in the world all the time. You know, you look like that guy, and it's always that kind of, when's he going to make the breakthrough? What's even more strange about it, coincidental, not coincidental, it's hard for me to sit here and judge, is when the pressure is really on, when you get those real big moments, you seem to deliver.
I mean, yes, people were saying, because Paris, I qualified, and a lot of people were saying that, and they're like, yeah, you're a big game performer, and when it matters most, you show up. And I, you know, that's a compliment, and I appreciate it. But at the same time, I wish I was, you know,
It's like a bit of an. Do you almost feel like that's also a bit of an insult though? Because it perhaps suggests the rest of the time, like, people are going, is it almost like, can he actually really be bothered for the small stuff?
Yeah, I mean, it's not an insult. I actually, you know, because for most of my, you know, because I had a whole running college career before I started triathlon, and then like, I felt like I was almost the opposite of like, I was pretty consistent, but I never could like really elevate my game. So I'd rather be the guy that shows up when it matters most than the guy who's kind of good throughout the year, but doesn't qualify for the Olympics on the test event. So I like it, but obviously I want to work towards being a consistent force, as you said.
Okay. So just stepping back then to where kind of this all started for you, because you mentioned like this running career that you had as well, and before that you were obviously quite a strong swimmer, a strong swim background as well.
Yeah, I guess.
How did you actually even find your way to triathlon through all of that?
So I graduated college in 2016, so Rio Olympics, I graduated right before the Rio Olympics, and I was just pretty much all in on running, but. Yeah, it wasn't like one thing happened. Just a couple little things happened. I mean, the Olympics went on, and you watch the Olympics, and the guys who are winning medals in the 5K and 10K look a little bit different than me. the guys who are winning medals in the triathlon, it's more like, yeah, like that's probably more, you know, I'm 6 feet tall, like 160 pounds, so maybe I was a little lighter back then, but I wasn't 115 pounds.
Yeah.
And then a funny story was, so we used to do like open water swims growing up, like a mile, it'd be like a mile in New Jersey. I'm from New Jersey. And I just, for some reason, I just wanted to do one for fun. And my little brother, Trevor, who's a, he was a college swimmer, just D3, but he was still pretty good. We did it together, and I somehow beat him. I mean, I sat on his feet the whole time and then sprinted by him at the end. But I hadn't trained for swimming in 5 years. And he was obviously swimming in college. So I was like, oh, maybe I still have it a little. So that was one little thing that happened. So anyways, a few months later, I just reached out to USA Triathlon. I honestly didn't, I'll be honest, even with that, that mile swim result, I didn't think I was fast enough at swimming. Mm. I swam in high school and before, and I was never that good in my mind. So I just was like, I know I have the running times, but I don't think I'm a good enough swimmer, but here's what I've done. And yeah, they flew me out to a swim camp in Scottsdale in December of 2016. And they did some swim testing. One of the tests was a 400 meter open water test. And then one of the and then 100 meter open water test. So there's this guy there who swam they did 100 from a dive too, and he went a 48. This is yards, so he went a 48 from a dive, short course yards, 100, which is pretty fast. I mean, it's not, he's not breaking any records, but for a college runner who hasn't been training, I thought that was pretty good. But then when we did the open water test, I was exactly the same 100 as him. I don't remember what it was, a minute or something. So I was I think they were gaining some interest in me. I actually chose to run that first year, 2017, and just focus on running. But they kind of kept recruiting me. And then that next summer, 2017, I decided to do the age group triathlon, the age group nationals triathlon. And that went, I was just trying to do it low key. I just wanted to try it, see how it went. And, I won the race, which was cool, age group champion. And yeah, I mean, I just kind of realized I probably have a better chance to, make the Olympics, compete for medal at the triathlon than running. So that was, and for me, growing up as a swimmer, runner, the Olympics is kind of the highest level of sport. So, yeah, that was kind of the Olympics and all that was kind of the reason I decided to give the triathlon a go.
Yeah, interesting. So you're obviously talking about a lot of these things you did in your childhood as well with your family. Were you all super sporty? Was that kind of a big thing in the family?
Yeah. I mean, honestly, mostly just swimming. I had an older brother. He's a swimmer. He actually ran cross country too. But then he... Because for example, our swim team was a club team, and there was juniors, which practiced I don't remember the exact time, maybe 5:30 to 7. And then seniors, and this is PM, so 5:30, 7 PM. And then seniors was 3:30 to, basically right after class got out.
Right, yeah.
So you couldn't really do, and then cross country practice was right after class got out. So my older brother, he was running cross country, and then he moved up to the senior level swim team and gave up running. Same with my little brothers. Everyone ran cross country at some point. I was the only one that never did the senior level. I stayed in the juniors till I graduated. But I was definitely a better runner. So obviously it worked out and here I am. But,
were you all kind of inspiring each other then in terms of were you egging each other on to
yeah. do this? Yeah. I mean, I would say it's kind of funny being here in Malibu with the surfing. The most competitive we got was we used to do junior lifeguard tournaments in New Jersey. And that was probably the most kind of head-to-head rivalries we got. Or even we did senior lifeguards. So yeah, that was kind of when it got the most spicy between us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I was quite interested as well in your background as well. Your father was his career he was a CEO, right? And he ran some very, very, very major businesses and companies. which kind of, all right, he's not the president, but it kind of put him in a bit of spotlight as well. And obviously it's a very, from the outside, looks like he would have had very, very high pressure environment type role. Is that something that you recognized or felt growing up, or was he just like, it's just dad?
Yeah, it's, you know, it's funny. I've never really been asked about that in an interview, but,
sorry.
No, yeah, yeah, it's fine. I mean, I'd almost would rather talk about it than people just make assumptions. But yeah, I mean, I'll be honest, my dad wasn't really around. Like, he traveled a lot and wasn't really, you know, there a ton. So it was just, and it's one of those things where you're like, you're a little kid and you're just like, oh, that's how life is. And then like you get older and get into high school, and then you're just like, well, he's got a pretty, like, I don't know, like an important job or big job. And you just, it's just kind of like, it's weird. Like, cause you don't, at first you're like, that's just life, you know? But then you realize like, that's not how everyone is. You know, people, their dad's around more, but you know, just things are different. So I don't know. I mean, it's a tough question. I mean, I remember a few years ago I was running with a friend, and he was like, he knew about my dad, and he's like, yeah, like you're someone who's like, wants to be the best, and like that's just it, part of my family, you know, like whether I like to admit it or not, like my dad is like aiming to be the best at what he can. So it's just like, that was there, even though maybe he wasn't around a ton, like him pushing himself and trying to be the best at his job is something that maybe I've adopted into being a triathlete.
Yeah, so I guess it's that kind of type A personality. Yeah. Whether it's business, whether it's sport, whatever, it's that drive to just want to compete almost to be the best in whatever field you've got.
Yeah, and like just be all in too, you know, like kind of, you know, there's no doubt that my dad was, you know, all in on his job. And I feel like I'm pretty, you know, all in on the trial. Maybe my results don't show it this past year, but I do put a lot into the sport. And
it's interesting though, because like kind of that benefit you're talking about, like almost looking back now, a bit benefit of hindsight, because, you know, kind of people who have that sometimes look back and can sometimes feel a little bit like, you know, I wish my dad was just around more.
Yeah.
But I wonder if, even though maybe you feel that, maybe you don't, you can recognize, because of what you do, like that all in commitment to something, whatever it is kind of like, I guess, where you've gone in a way with your career.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, that's really hard to say. I think, you know, it would have been nice, I think, for our family if he was around more. I'll say this though, kind of on the same, like I do think something, you know, my dad was, you know, he had a really good job and all that, but I think something I've realized about myself is, I've been driven to do something completely different. And like, as successful as my dad is, he never went to the Olympics, never got an Olympic medal. And like, you know, I feel like that's kind of been something important to me of, you know, being my own person, being my own man. I mean, so for example, my first year of college, I went to Duke, and actually my dad went there. My older brother was there. My mom went there. So it's kind of like a, you know, I went there to run, they recruited me. So I got in on my own merit and all that, but just, I don't know. I kind of wanted to be my own person. And, I think that's kind of what's driven me too, just to be, you know, like, you know, make a name for myself in triathlon or running, or you know, go to University of Colorado and be part of a really good team there. And yeah, that's definitely something that's part of me, you know.
Yeah, it's interesting in a way that you've had that kind of, it's sort of a, it's like a reaction.
Yeah,
it's a reaction to it, but and yet you kind of still can probably reflect that determination to succeed is the same trait. It's a weird kind of trade-off, how the sort of psychology with that works, I guess.
Yeah No, I think so. I think, yeah, I mean, I don't know what drive, I mean, everyone's got their own driven that, but I remember talking to
and everybody's background influences who they become, no matter what your background is, whether it's great, whether you've had a terrible time, whatever, you're still a product of your environment.
Yeah, exactly. So Yeah, I mean, I think, it's cool to kind of achieve my own or like chase my own goals and, you know, to achieve, I think to achieve any sort of, you know, big goal in life, you do have to be disciplined and dedicated. And, you know, I'm grateful that I, you know, saw that growing up, but I'm glad I have my own, you know, my own goals.
Yeah. And I guess in terms of like family as well, like it's obviously, this is obviously a bit something you have talked about more in the past, but that obviously qualifying for Tokyo just after your brother sadly passed away.
Yeah.
I mean, it's hard to kind of fully fathom how you managed to pull that out.
Yeah.
Do you look back now and sometimes wonder how you manage now with a bit more passage of time?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and honestly, I pretty much, I did really bad in the individual race, and for a while, that was very hard to deal with. But looking back now, like, I realize how much I was dealing with at that time, and like, just to make it, you know, like my brother died 10 weeks before Yokohama, about give or take, and I basically didn't do anything for like 4 weeks. I went home and, you know, probably like the hardest period of my life. And just, I don't know. I don't really know exact, like, I think it was really important to me because it was for me, like, to qualify. I know that meant a lot to me, you know, it did mean a lot to me, but in that time, like, I just knew it meant a lot to my family. You know, like, that's obviously doesn't that, you know, my brother died, like any amount of happiness that brings to my family for going to the Olympics and excitement, like that's not even close to the how hard that was. But it was really cool to do that and do it for my family. I mean, I'll never, you know, just to go back to that race, I got third. We had to get top eight, top American to qualify. And like that last lap of the run, I'll never forget that feeling. It was just like, I don't think anyone has ever experienced anything like that. Like, cause it's just like sadness, but like also like, it's just a weird feeling. And it's crazy to think about that, that emotion I was dealing with. And sometimes I look back and I was like, wow, that's pretty crazy that I did that.
You did it at the time. Was it at all a distraction that you could kind of sort of, to, as much as is possible, bury yourself into training, into racing, into preparation? And then once you came out of that period where kind of you can, in a way, you can pull the shutters down as much as is, you know, possible, did you then kind of feel like almost a delayed kind of like reaction to it, like a more delayed grieving and things like that, because you sort of had managed to compartmentalize while you focused on your racing?
Of course. Yeah, for sure. I mean, that period building up to Yokohama, it was like easy to train, there was no like questioning anything. There was no looking at what other people are doing. Oh, should I be doing? It was just, I need to do this. I'm going to do it this way. And then I'm going to go home and go to sleep or what, you know. It was just so like, so focused. And like, I didn't want to see other people, you know. I had my girlfriend and a few close friends and obviously my family, but there was no like, there was no like social stuff I felt like I had to do. Like, I just didn't want, it was so easy to say no to everything. And yeah. And then like you said, like once that kind of, that came to an end, cause that doesn't last forever. It did kind of, it was just a lot. And yeah, emotionally and physically, it just wears on you. To a certain point, you're just like pretty much like feel like blah. Like I kind of was talking about after the Olympic, like I think that was kind of what, you know, it was just like, well, I went to Tokyo and here I am and my brother's dead and what's next?
Yeah.
So I don't know.
Yeah, and I guess it's hard at that moment in time to find the joy in your success almost, yeah. Because I suppose you probably feel guilty about wanting to be happy for yourself and having an achievement and actually wanting to be pleased.
Yeah. 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 I don't know. That's a good question. I never thought about it that way. I mean, I remember, you know, it was so easy for me to be like, oh, I'm doing this for my family. And obviously, you know, it's not like I decided I was going to try to make the Olympics when my brother died. Like, I was obviously working towards that already, but I think it was so easy for me to be like, I'm going to do this for my family. And that did drive me. And then I remember after Tokyo, talking to someone about, you know, Paris and other goals, and they're like, listen, like, at a certain point you have to do this like for yourself. And that's, if you're going to like get to another level, you have to do it for yourself. And I don't know. I mean, I think I'm still working towards that. And there's certainly days where I am cool with that. But yeah, it does, there is that guilt feeling, like you said.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's hard. I mean, it's something that's very hard, like for anybody to kind of work through and to kind of get to a point where you go, I guess it's okay to be happy for me as well. That's okay. I don't need to feel bad about feeling happy for me still.
Yeah. 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 No, I mean, life goes on. Like, I mean, it's been 2 years, and 6 months or 7 months. Everyone deals with loss and, you know, I don't know. Like, I still think about my brother every day, but I, life goes on and, I don't know. I don't know how to answer your question.
No, it's fine. But I guess like all of these things you've been through, whether it's that, which obviously is, you know, tragic, but also, I guess less tragic, but still difficult. You've talked about all these kind of periods of injury you've dealt with. Everything forges together and you're still here.
Yeah.
You're still going. You qualified for the Olympics again.
Yeah.
Like, I wonder if you could, it might be impossible for you to even reflect this, but I wonder if you can reflect and go, wow, I'm still standing after all of this. At some point, this might be the thing that when I'm on that start line with somebody else, I've got this toughness that they haven't got because I've been through this.
Yeah, no, I mean, definitely. I definitely do have that. I feel like I've proved to myself that I don't need, you know, I would love to have the results all year long, but I don't have that insecurity of, oh, like racing isn't going well. I need to, you know, for example, in Paris, like I knew I could qualify. There was no like, oh, I haven't been, cause in Hamburg, I talked about that, the infection, and then I went to Hamburg and got basically destroyed. I mean, I was basically out of shape. Cause that was mid July. So I basically like didn't train all of June. Went to Hamburg with like 2 weeks of healthy training and got just destroyed. But I like kind of like that same thing, not obviously not to the same level, but that period after I was just like, if I get into the test event, I'm going to be ready. And I really, you know, I didn't question my fitness going into Paris. I mean, obviously, you know, you have good workouts and good training and that helps too. But at no point was I like, I don't know if I can do this. Like I was like, if I execute, I know I can qualify. So I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing of like, I don't need those results. I don't need, you know, that feedback or, you know, people telling me stuff. Like I know what I'm capable of. And, I mean, obviously I was hoping this year went a little bit differently, but I feel like I proved a lot. I feel like I proved a lot to myself. Maybe not to others. Like I know I've improved a lot as an athlete. And like, yeah, I mean, here we are. I mean, it's funny, like you know, like in other sports, there's like the box score and then they're like, say like, it's like deeper than the box score. So you can look at like the results, you know, you can look at the results of Pontevedra and I got 50, fourth or 55th or something. And like, it's easy to be like, that was a bad result. And like, at the end of the day it was, but I proved a lot to myself in that race. And I know, if I can get healthy, like, and I'm not healthy right now, I could have won that race. And yeah, that's, and I'm comfortable saying that. So
it's interesting though. I wonder now when you look ahead, you got, you know, a lot to still look forward to in your career. I wonder if what does success look like for you? Does success look like trying to finally get the consistency you've been talking about? Or does success look like, it doesn't matter if I turn up on that start line in Paris and execute, nothing else matters?
Yeah. I mean, definitely Paris. I mean, being as like a US athlete, like, no one in the U.S., you know, I care about it, but the World Triathlon Circuit is not something people care about. And so, like, I didn't even know who Gwen Jorgensen was until Rio 2016. You know, like, I didn't follow the sport. I knew the Brownlees, and I knew Gomez, and that was it. And I because of London Olympics.
Yeah,
and I'd seen that, but. Yeah, and obviously I would love to, you know, show up to WTS and do well and all that, but the Olympics, you know, I don't know if that's just the way I'm wired or the way I am. Like, that's what's important to me. And like you said, showing up there, you know, being healthy, being fit, and just, yeah, just executing. Like, that's pretty much what's important to me. I mean, yeah, the consistency, like, I would love to have that, but... that's seems to be pretty hard for me this time.
Well, I'm sure you'd accept another Olympic medal or two in the locker, and that would be
that would be
pretty amazing, right?
Yeah, for sure.
Well, look, Morgan, thanks so much for taking the time to talk to us. It's been a fascinating chat, really great to get to know you a lot better, and certainly wish you all the very best for the rest of this year, for Paris and beyond.
Yeah, thank you. Thanks for your time. Appreciate it.